Now stand with me, please, and let's read the word of the Lord together, the book of James, chapter number 1, verse number 5. We'll read it off the screen together. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word of instruction that we're going to receive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Doris and I moved to St. Louis, Missouri, and took a church out in the Maryland Heights in the West County area a number of years ago now. Our daughter at that time was about 2.5 or 3 years old. Had a lot of wonderful experiences in that church. We lived in an old parsonage that had rodents, big St. Louis-style rodents inside it. But we got rid of them. We roasted them in the oven, caught them in the oven, then threw them away. But our daughter needed a swing set, so we managed to scrape together enough money to buy a swing set, and we took the swing set out in the backyard, began to put it together. One of the most tedious times in the life of a young parent is assembling their first swing set. The gangly poles and the chains and the seats, all of those things are supposed to fit together, but invariably you get to the end of the process and you're missing one bolt, one screw, one hole's not drilled through, one piece is missing. And that missing part destroys the whole project. Do I sound like I'm speaking from experience? I am. Last time I spoke, we dealt with verses 2, 3, and 4, which concluded with the description of the mature believer in Jesus Christ. That believer is said to be perfect, lacking in nothing. He or she has all the parts necessary to create a functioning whole person who operates with an understanding of his or her personal relationship with God. We are blessed. But then the next verse, verse 5, that we began to read today, that verse says, there is a key part in the life of every believer that must be there. And if that key part is missing, there's a hole in that believer's life. And that key part is wisdom. And the truth is, without wisdom, no one can attain the place where they are said to be mature and whole. Now that's the goal of verse 4, to be mature and whole, to be complete in every part, not missing anything. And yet if, verse 5, if you're missing wisdom, then you're lacking a major component. You've got to find it. So the need of this passage, the glaring need of this passage in the life of every believer is wisdom. Let me give you some definitions. There are six definitions that I will give you, and you can choose among them which one fits your situation the best. Wisdom is the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables believers to function at a level of understanding and discernment otherwise beyond their natural abilities. Now, any gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift to allow you to do something through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that you could not do without the help of the Holy Spirit. So the gift of wisdom is to be able to operate at a level of wisdom that you could not, under any circumstance, operate in without the gift of the Holy Spirit working in you. Secondly, wisdom is skill in some area, particularly here in James, skill in handling the things of God. Now, to say it's a skill means that it is somewhat acquired, that indeed through the years you acquire wisdom. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, it is a human skill that you can acquire through use, through usage of your knowledge, through trial and error, through being in places where wisdom is called for. Thirdly, Wisdom is, according to one source, an applied understanding of the arts and sciences. Some of you will wonder, if I'm in a ministry school, why do I have to take science? Why do I have to take math? Why do I have to take two or three courses in history? I mean, all I want to do is preach the gospel. Just let me at them. Just give me the Bible. But the truth is, through the arts and sciences, you acquire knowledge that gives you an understanding of human nature and of humanity that allows you then to build wisdom to know how to work with people. In fact, the situations I've been in over the last number of years, well, the whole time I've been in ministry, situations I've been in have often called for everything I knew, everything I'd ever learned, everything I'd ever studied to be applied to that situation. So we give you a broad understanding because wisdom is an applied understanding of the arts and sciences. And then another writer said, wisdom is the ability to handle life with piety and integrity. Piety means holiness. Integrity, well, you understand what that means, that you do what you say what you do, you're truthful, you're full of honor, you're full of integrity. So wisdom is the ability to go through life and keep your godliness and keep your integrity. And another person said, wisdom is the ability to think through to solutions for problems. There are many problems. There are few people who can come up with solutions. If I were the president, I wonder what I would be doing this morning. I know the pundits on the television stations and radio stations can all tell what they would do. They don't know. If you woke up in the morning and found out that the ambassador, your ambassador to Libya, the one you appointed to Libya, had been killed by insurgents during the night, what would you do? If somebody brought you the news that the walls of the embassy in Cairo, Egypt, were being scaled and they were going to storm the embassy, what would you do? There is a place where a person has to be knowledgeable about what to do and able to think through to solutions. Now, I hope our president does the right thing, because it could mean war or it could mean peace. Whatever he chooses to do could bring us to a place of stability or a place of instability. Let's pray for stability. The same is true in your church. Churches have been literally blown apart by the pastors doing silly stuff that contain not one ounce of wisdom. Pray for, if you're going to be a pastor, a youth pastor, a church leader, a church worship pastor, a missionary on a field, whatever you're going to do in ministry, pray for the gift of wisdom to operate through your life. The King James Version uses these words, earnestly desire the best gifts. Well, not exactly those words, but similar words. Desire spiritual gifts. Every one of us needs to say, God, I want the gift of the Holy Spirit that will help me right now do what I need to do. And in pastoring, I have most often found wisdom was the gift of the Holy Spirit that I needed operating in me right then. And then Herbert Hoover. You don't hear him quoted much. He was the president when the Great Depression began back in 1929. He was an Iowan, a very practical person. President Herbert Hoover said this, wisdom consists not so much in knowing what to do in the ultimate as in knowing what to do next. Simply saying, wisdom is the ability to simply know what's the next step. So God is saying, seek wisdom, cry out for wisdom, ask for wisdom. The need is wisdom, and there's a biblical urgency given to this need. I'll just quote for you some scriptures that tell me of the biblical urgency for the need of wisdom. Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Those are two direct orders. Get wisdom, the Bible says. And then in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Proverbs, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. It sounds urgent, doesn't it? God is saying to us, seek after and find wisdom. And then Proverbs 8:11 says, for wisdom is better than rubies. Rubies cost a lot of money, but wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with wisdom. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Simply saying, you may have gold and silver, but be silly inane. I could use some other words. Not have good sense. Not know when to come in out of the cold. You can have money and not know what to do with it. And so the scripture says it's better to get wisdom than to pile up riches. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Let love be your highest goal. That's from the end of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. But you should also desire the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives. And one of those abilities is the ability to operate in wisdom. Now, the scripture tells us that this thing we need, wisdom, that we urgently need, get wisdom, that this comes from God. The writer of the Proverbs declares this, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. I love that. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 7. True wisdom, whether coming to us through experience or miraculously by gift of the Holy Spirit, true wisdom always has its source in God. Our attitude needs to be that exemplified in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2, and again in verse 4, where the writer says, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Search for them as you would search for silver. Seek for them like hidden treasures. We are helping you gain knowledge day after day here at CBC through your classes and through all the things that you are doing. You're gaining knowledge. But knowledge needs wisdom as its partner. And really, there are times the only way to gain wisdom is to go through an experience. Except in those times when there's a supernatural impartation of wisdom through a gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the key reasons you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating fully in your life. Because you simply can't go through ministry without wisdom. There's no greater example in the Bible than Solomon in searching for and desiring wisdom. Here's his story from 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God asked, ask what you wish me to give you. Then Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. Now, he wasn't a child. He was probably in his 20s. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Now that's a simple way of saying I'm naive. I don't know what to do. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. Well, he learned that from his father because his father made a silly mistake when he took a census, when God told him not to. So he refers back to that and says, I'm not about to count your people. My father did that. That wasn't wise. I'm not going to do that. Verse 9, so give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Look at what he says. He says, I'm not going to ask for anything except I want a discerning heart. I want wisdom so that I can judge rightly. God's response comes beginning in verse 11 of 1 Kings chapter 3. Because you've asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall there be like you arise after you. I've also given you what you asked, what you have not asked. Look at that. Verse 13, I've also given you what you've not asked. Since you asked for wisdom, I'll give you that. But I'll give you what you didn't ask for, riches and honor. So that there will not be any among the kings like you in all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. The lesson here for us is to wait on the Lord. Ask God for the right thing, wisdom. Pray for it every day. Just make it a part of your daily prayer. Lord, I just pray that today the spiritual gift of wisdom will be fully operational in my life. Well, how then do we ask? And that's what's covered in our text. Because if you ask, you have to ask in faith. In the first place, we have to ask an humble prayer. Humble prayer is prayer that puts full faith and trust in God and does not doubt. It's not just the repetition of a creed. It's not like saying the Lord's Prayer over and over. It's not like saying Ave Maria's or Hail Mary's time after time. It's not just going through a process of singing the doxology 12 times in three different languages. We ritualize this thing. It's not so much a ritual as it is a total dependence of your heart and my heart every day, simply saying, God, I will not doubt you today. I will ask in faith and I will receive. Here's what I think all of us should strive to do. We should exercise our faith until we touch God. And when we touch God, we need to hold on for a while and let there be from God a flow of His wisdom, His power, and His strength that comes from His hand to us and fills us up. Like the woman who crawled through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and felt virtue, the King James word, virtue flow out of the garment into her hand, and her body was healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Lord, there are many about who touched you. No. Someone touched me and the power of God flowed out of me into them. I want to touch God like that. I want to do it every day because I want flowing from God to me wisdom. And then there's the promise. The promise is that if we ask with unwavering faith, that asking, that trust in God will bring godly wisdom into operation in our lives. And the result will be stability. The result of wisdom operating in your life and mine is stability. A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways, chapter 1, verse 8. Simply meaning that if you can't make up your mind, you're not going to be stable. If you're wavering, if you're full of doubts, if your mind is split, if you cannot come to a conclusion, you're not going to be able to stand in the day when you're tried. When you're put to the test, with faith, with wisdom, there's success. Without faith and without wisdom, there are none of the benefits that I mentioned last time I spoke at the end of that message from verse 3, 4, and 5. There are none of those benefits. What we have to have is godly wisdom. So I believe this passage of Scripture sets a goal for you and for me. And I'm going to give you four parts to that goal. The first part is this, the first leg of this goal, this stable goal for us. The first leg is to be sure. And I'll offer you three things that every one of us in this room needs to be sure of. First of all, we need to be sure of our relationship with God. I hope that you've cemented your relationship with God. I hope that you're walking in assurance that He is your Father. You are His child. You are an adopted heir of the kingdom of God and all its benefits. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're walking by faith and you're walking in the blessings of God. Not that you're anybody or anything. You've just been chosen by the grace of God to experience the fullness of the power and the strength of God. If you're not sure of that, settle it today. To be sure of your relationship with God. Secondly, to be sure of the validity, the truth of the Word of God. When I pick up my Bible, my first question is not, is this true? My first question is, God, what are you going to teach me today out of the abundance of your Word? For I've never found this Word to be false. nor have I ever found his word to be disappointing, nor have I ever found his word to let me down when I needed his word to strengthen me. His word is always true. His word is always right on. His word is always sufficient. His word is always powerful. His word is always sustaining. His word always lifts. I believe it. I've settled that to be sure of my relationship with God and of the truth of the word, and to be sure of the strength of my convictions. You know, I'll have to admit to you, as I look back over these years of ministry, I think there are times I was wrong. But I was wrong with all my heart. Because whatever I believed, I really believed. My wife will tell you that I used to preach until the veins came out in my neck and my face turned red. And I don't know, maybe that's why I have high blood pressure today, because I overextended so much back in those days. But it was just a way that I would say to people, I really believe what I'm preaching to you. And I still do. Because the convictions I hold deeply. And I hope that you will grow deep convictions. Now, the thing is, your convictions cannot be controlled from the outside. They have to be controlled from the inside. So it's not just that you memorize somebody else's book of convictions. You've actually developed some down deep in your heart, things you believe that are unquestionable in your faith. So to be sure, first goal, second goal, to be full. I'm so glad you mentioned being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Teen Challenge leads all of its students to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's been a hallmark. I've been in many Teen Challenges over the years, preaching for their services, their chapel services. I've seen many Teen Challenge students baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love to go to Cape Girardeau Teen Challenge, where for a while I spoke there on an annual basis. I'd go down in April of every year, and I just enjoy that. I just love that, because it's so neat to see men and women pray through to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I just want to be full. And it's my opinion that with the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes a fullness of the Word of God. Because sometimes my mind reads the Word, but my mind doesn't fully comprehend it, and then the Holy Spirit comes along and gives enlightenment. I depend on that Holy Spirit every time I prepare a message. Because it's not enough for me to read the words. I really don't think that there's a word in the New Testament that I cannot read and tell you the English meaning of it in the English Bible. Because I've studied vocabulary and grammar till I pretty much know. But there's more to it than that. There's more than knowing what the word on the page says. It's knowing what the Word of God says to your heart and to my heart. That's why there's word studies, lexicons. That's why there's interlinear Bibles. That's why there's Greek and Hebrew studies. That's why that's all the context and the setting of what is being said, and the crowd to whom it's being said, and the person who's saying it. Because there's a meaning in there that comes out at you when you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I want to be full of the Word of God. And I want to be empowered to understand the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. So my prayer is, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, I want to be full of assurance. Because when I'm called to stand in this pulpit and speak to you, I am standing based on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the call of God to speak His truth. I'm not here to tell you my opinion as much as I'm here to tell you what I believe God is saying to this generation and to this church and to this college and to this moment in your life and mine. So I want to be full of assurance. I don't want to be a double-minded person who's unstable in all of his ways. I want to be full of assurance. Thirdly, I want to be singularly minded. That is, I want my focus to be clear. Now, I wasn't good with a camera. I've never been good with a camera. I get distracted too easily. Being still has never been a virtue of mine. And with my iPhone, often Doris will say, take a picture of that. So I'll pull my iPhone out. The problem is, it won't stay still. And often I'll have to take two or three pictures to get one that is somewhere near still. Otherwise, everything's moving in the picture. You know, it's just not quite focused. Sometimes I think we read the Bible like that, where it's not, we don't focus in. We're not really hearing what God's saying. But I want to be singularly minded. I want to focus as sharply as I can, as clearly as I can, on one thing. And that's the will of God. I want to have it so clear in my mind. Now, that may be one of the issues that we're facing in consolidation, is that for some of us, the will of God doesn't seem to be real clear right now. But remember, I said, Herbert Hoover said, quoting from that great spiritual giant, I don't know if he's a spiritual giant or not. I know he's a Quaker, Herbert Hoover, who said, it's not so much in knowing what to do in the ultimate. It's knowing what the next step is. And I think godly wisdom helps us not necessarily know what we're going to do in April or May or June or July of next year, but in knowing what to do, very next step we take. And that's godly wisdom. So I want God to show me what His will is. Not way down the road, today, right now, when this chapel's over. What am I supposed to do next? Well, you're supposed to eat lunch and go to 12:30 class. That's pretty settled. But there may be opportunities for ministry that God's working out through all of this, that throughout this day will become clear to me. Did you know this could be a life-changing chapel? Because God could show you something that your future holds that you've never seen before. Focused on God's will, fortified by God's love. I want to be singularly minded. That is, I want to have the love of God working in me in such a way that I don't doubt His love. I want to be sure of God's promise. I want to have God's promises in my mind day after day after day. I think it's such a dilemma when you and I forget the promises of God, or we explain them away. No. Every day you need to find one of God's promises, and simply stand on it. Repeat it as many times as you need to until it's down deep in your heart, and then stand on it. And having done all to stand, stand. Because if you're standing on the Word of God, you're in a safe place. You're always in the right place if you're standing on the Word of God. And then fourthly, to be stable. To be stable means to me that I'm robust in God's health. That is, that I'm able to do what God has for me to do. I'm strengthened to do it. I have health in me, not just physical health, although I think that's a part of serving God. If you're not physically healthy, you're not going to be able to serve God with everything that's within you. So you need to be healed. You need to get yourself in a place where you're functioning according to the will of God when it comes to health issues. So we need to be robust in God's physical health. But I think a part of that, too, is being robust in emotional health. And having God help you settle things in your mind. And then there's being robust in spiritual health, so that your cup flows over, so that you're blessing people. I was so blessed by that testimony today. I sat there and thought, why do I need to get up and preach? I mean, wow, what a sermon. Healing from all those issues of life that our dear sister went through, not of her own making or doing. But did you hear how God brought her through and God brought her here? I mean, that's something to shout about. And how God brought her health and strength. I want that. I want that. I want that for every one of you. To be walking in the health and the strength and the power of God. I don't think there's anything wrong to say, if somebody asks you how you're doing, just say, I'm walking in the health and strength of the Spirit of God today. You can just say it with assurance. And along with being robust in God's health, to be resolute in God's power. And last of all, to be rock solid in God's faith. Now, I want you to pray with me in these last couple of minutes of chapel. And here's my assignment to you. I want everyone in this room to identify one or two things that are facing you right now. And for sure, you need God's wisdom in handling this thing or these two things. If you sit here and tell me there's nothing in my life for which I need God's wisdom, you're either not being truthful with me, or you're an airhead. And I'm sure, I'm really sure nobody in this room is an airhead, because we wouldn't have let you into CBC if you were. Now, quit punching your neighbor. Everybody in this room has an issue or two that is staring you in the face. Decision you've got to make. Something you've got to think about. Something you've got to handle. A decision that you have to make. So I want you to think about that. And when we stand in a moment to pray, I want you to commit that thing to God in prayer with this request: God, give me the Holy Spirit gift of wisdom in handling this, so that what I do is according to your will. And then when you walk out of this chapel, I want you to pledge to me, you won't do anything outside of God's leading. You won't substitute anything for the leading of the Holy Spirit. You won't take someone's advice over God's leading. You'll follow God's word and God's leading, knowing that His blessing will follow you if you do. And the last thing I'm going to ask you to do for me today is to pledge to me that throughout this coming week, you'll act on God's direction without wavering. You'll simply say, where God leads, I'll follow. Stand up with me. You can stand in your seat and pray. You can come to the altar and pray, wherever you'd like to pray. But first of all, we're going to pray for the one or two things that you've identified in your mind. If I don't have God's help with this, I'll blow it. With this thing, it's bigger than I am. It's broader. The implications are bigger. I really need God's help. You've identified it. Now I want you to commit it to God in prayer. Let's begin to pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, pray it. Pray aloud if you don't mind. God will hear you. There's strength in hearing each other pray. God, there are so many things that we need your wisdom to help us with. But I've asked our students and faculty and staff to identify a couple of things, at the most two, that they just need your wisdom in handling. Maybe it's an interpersonal relationship issue, a family relationship issue. Only you can help us. Maybe it's a physical issue. God, help us. Maybe it's an issue of scheduling, being overloaded. God, help us. Maybe, oh Lord, it's an issue of priorities. Where do I put my energies? God, help us. Maybe, Lord, it's an issue of how I look on myself, or how I treat myself, or the fact that I'm not robust in health. God, help us. What you're telling us to do. For Lord, we will follow your leading. I want you to commit right now to follow God's leading in your life. Just say, Lord, throughout this week, I'm going to act on your direction without wavering. God, just give me the strength to be wise enough to hear your voice and follow you this whole week, without turning to the right or turning to the left, just straight on following you, Lord, so that throughout this week it can be said that I was not double-minded, unstable in all my ways, but with all my intentions and with all my strength, I followed after God. Father, I pray for our faculty who are in the room, whose hearts are for our students, and that some of our faculty right now are praying over student issues. Students they teach in classes that really need their help right now. I pray that you'll give our faculty wisdom in dealing with every student. But our faculty are also real people with real needs and real life, and families at home and ministries outside of CBC. And so I just pray that you'll give our faculty the gift of wisdom in their personal relationships, their family relationships, their financial dealings, everything that they do, so that they will glorify God. And our staff, Lord, our staff need wisdom in how to handle all the issues that crop up around CBC, the old pipes that need fixed, and the hot water that needs to be repaired every now and then, and stuff that needs to be done. That we really need your wisdom, Lord, because sometimes we don't even know where to start. Give us wisdom, and also with the staff in personal relationships, and wisdom to know how to deal with the issues of life in our students, I just cry out for our students. I know that nothing will come up that you will not help us to handle in the right way. Please, O Lord, I cry out, fill us with wisdom. Now I want you to declare before you leave this room, and some of you are praying at the altar, just stay as long as you want. Some more of you need to spend some time here. But I just want you to declare, by God's grace, I am blessed with wisdom as a gift of the Holy Spirit. I just want you to declare that. The blessing of God upon you today is godly wisdom beyond your human understanding as a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to operate in that gift throughout this week. Lord, we earnestly desire the best gifts, and we really feel like the best gift right now is wisdom. Help us, oh Lord. Would you just make that claim? That claim before the Lord. Lord, I intend throughout this entire week to be filled with the gift of godly wisdom and to operate in that Holy Spirit-given gift throughout the entire week. Thank you, Jesus. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you and the grace of our Lord fill you. May the hope of our Lord just abound in your heart and life every day. May you kick up your heels with delight and joy at the thought of God's grace working in your life. Amen and amen. God bless you today. God bless you.